Gal, I had found the one that I had always dreamed about. And then one evening, when she stopped by after work, I pulled a diamond ring out of the pocket of my shirt. And as her eyes filled up with tears, she said, "This is the last thing I expected." And then she took me by the hand and said, "I'll only marry you on one condition." And we danced out there on that empty hardwood floor, the chairs up and the lights turned way down low. The music played, we held each other close, and we danced.
This is a special report from ABC News, Hurricane Milton. I'm Michelle Franzen. Widespread damage across Florida after Hurricane Milton barreled across the state. Governor Ron DeSantis and President Biden spoke earlier. More federal aid is on the way, and FEMA is on the ground to assess the needs.
We're looking at damaged hospitals.
FEMA Regional Administrator Willie Nunn says the full extent of the damage will become clear over time. Search and rescue teams coordinated by FEMA will go house to house. But when it comes to the immediate response,
the state is always in the lead.
Nunn says despite concerns about the disaster relief fund running low, for now,
we are fully funded.
Nunn says it's important to disregard online rumors. He insists FEMA will provide assistance as it has in the past.
We have the funds to do that.
Stephen Portnoy, ABC News.
DeSantis says water rescues are still underway across the state from coastal and inland flooding and tornadoes on Florida's East Coast, blamed for at least four deaths. That death toll could rise. This is ABC News. Ukraine's President Zelensky swinging through Europe to drum up support in his war against Russia.
First stop, 10 Downing Street here in London for talks with the leaders of Britain and NATO about his so-called victory plan. Then off to Paris for more of the same with President Macron. Zelensky will also touch base with the leader of Italy later this week. He had been due to present his blueprint at a weekend meeting of Western representatives in Germany. That's been postponed, with President Biden staying home to respond to Hurricane Milton. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
A newly released report from the Centers for Disease Control finds 15.5 million adults in the U.S. have ADHD or attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. 71% reported trouble getting medication because of shortages. The Justice Department hinting at a possible breakup of Google, the DOJ making recommendations after an August ruling found Google violated antitrust laws. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or diabetes, you're at higher risk of being hospitalized from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. With Downy Unstoppable, you just toss, wash, wow, for all day freshness.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears a challenge to the governor's creative use of the partial veto. Evers deleted digits to extend a school funding increase by 400 years. His attorney, Colin Roth, argued previous rulings set the table for that.
That is a natural result of this court's case law from over 100 years that has expansively defined the constitutional partial veto power.
Conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley.
I don't buy that, because what has happened
is the governor is becoming the most powerful person in this state, arguably, to just make the law whatever he declares.
Court, which has a 4-3 liberal majority, is expected to take some time before issuing a ruling. The State Building Commission approves more than $160 million in projects.
Included in the total is $50 million for 50 projects through a new non-state grant program, which was created in the 2023-25 biennial budget. Those grants will fund projects that bolster critical infrastructure and key services in sectors like health and wellness, economic and workforce development, arts and culture, and public services. More than 250 applications were submitted to the Wisconsin Department of Administration. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Court action yesterday and today for the two Lincoln Hills inmates accused of reckless homicide and the death of correctional officer Corey Prue.
A preliminary hearing was held for Javarius Hurd on Wednesday, where both sides questioned witnesses and viewed footage from the late June confrontation at the youth prison. Hurd is accused of throwing a cup of soap at another staffer, then running off. Prue gave chase and tried to restrain him, but was knocked over and hit his head on a hard surface. Ryan Nyblom is accused of providing that soap to Hurd. He's due to enter a plea for two counts later today. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A gorgeous day today under mostly sunny skies with unseasonable highs climbing to the upper 70s. Got a south wind at about 5 to 10 miles per hour shoving us there. And as clouds increase tonight, low temperatures stay mild, hovering near 60. Paying too much for health insurance? Call 1-800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. Currently, it's 61.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
To study some of the pricing issues in the cattle industry, we will try to get a handle on what that might mean for cattlemen. And meat exports are a critical component of cattle and hog pricing. We'll take a look at the export trends through the first two-thirds of the year.
It's a Thursday Info Stampede via Farm Journal broadcast. This is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Joe Sheely from the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Then it's Ethan Lane from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Beautiful here in the middle of the country. The devastation that has been documented from that was caused by Hurricane Milton is just staggering in some cases. The storm has moved off into the Atlantic, off the east coast of the U.S. There's still some remnants. There are still some tropical force winds and so on that are on the east coast of Florida right now, but it does seem to be moving off to into the Atlantic. Man, oh man, what a season for hurricanes, dude.
What a season. And as this rolled in, tornadoes all over the place. Unfortunately, some folks lost their lives. Thoughts and prayers go out to those folks, man.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. The leading edge was a lightning and tornado destruction zone of its own.
Yep.
It was just incredible to see the power. And, you know, everybody says, well, it was Category 3 by the time it hit. It wasn't a Category 5. That just means it was broader. Okay? The eye got bigger. It spread out and covered more area. And it's a devastating storm. There's no doubt about it. No doubt. So here we are. Here we are in the middle of the country, 58 degrees here in North. It's gorgeous. Heading for a high of, I think, 81 is the forecast for today.
Okay.
One more above normal temperature day tomorrow, and then it starts to look and feel a little more like spring. There's not a lot of rain in the forecast, but at least the temperatures are going to look a little more like fall when we get to next week.
Well, I would welcome that. We're 67 degrees already here. I mean, the cooker is on for the day. Actually, we're just headed for a high of 84, which, you know, translate that to Kansas City degrees. That's about 78 degrees, you know, I feel like. Kind of a nice day.
Talking about the cooker, it's going to be hot at the stadium tonight at 7:08. game four. Come on. You got to get this one done, Royals.
We got to get this one. I thought sure we had last night. I thought sure we had
it. I did too. I did too. Sent the home field advantage back to the Yankees.
Yeah.
The Phillies and Mets are over. Mets win.
Yes.
OMG, Mets.
Yeah.
Here we go.
They beat the Phillies.
So here we go. The series between the Dodgers and the Padres. All tied up at two apiece. As we talked about, New York leads the Royals 2-1, and the Tigers lead the Guardians 2-1 in the other American League line of that. So,
well, that'll be fun to take the series from New York City. You know, I mean, it's one thing to do it at home. You really want to put a lid on this kind of thing.
Can you imagine the lack of interest throughout the rest of the country if it's a Mets-Yanks series? Come on, Royals!
Yeah, come on, Royals. Yes, yes.
All right, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, we talked about Milton. It is moving off the Florida coast this morning. Gradual weakening is expected. It's headed out into the ocean. Expected to become a powerful extra-tropical low tonight, well off the southeast U.S. coast. Still got some life-threatening storm surge, heavy rainfall, some damaging hurricane-force winds, especially in gusts, and that may continue through this morning over east-central and northeastern Florida. Now, it did make landfall as a Cat 3 storm late Wednesday before moving off to the east-central coast. More than 3 million people, Chip, left without power. And that we may see that number grow.
Yeah, they've got a lot of work to do. And fortunately, it looks like at the state level, they did a lot of planning and have resources in place. Unfortunately, it ripped the roof off of Tropicana Field.
Saw that.
Which is where they had housing set up for, like, geez, did they say 10,000 workers?
I didn't hear the number, but I saw the pictures. The whole field was covered in cots and things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, man, oh, man. Tough situation.
Well, Chip, there was damage to phosphate production and storage in the Tampa area. For reference, as much as 42% of U.S. ammonium phosphate and 32% of U.S. phosphate rock and half of U.S. wet processed phosphoric acid production capacity is located near Tampa Bay. Those are the components to make your phosphate fertilizers. Veronica Nye with the Fertilizer Institute says, quote, certainly the impact of these hurricanes is going to continue to lead to elevated phosphate prices for the foreseeable future, not what we needed as we're thinking about fall applications.
Well, yeah, you had a conversation with Josh Linville from Stone X on Monday, and basically Josh was saying, listen, even if there isn't damage from this storm, we've still got the fundamentals in place that are going to prevent any major price slide in fertilizers, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. Right. And especially, you know, if some of these facilities, it doesn't sound like they sustained massive damage to these facilities, but I mean, just having electrical problems from the storm is enough of a disruption. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, according to the Kansas City Federal Reserve, farm operating debt at commercial banks has seen a significant increase. Non-real estate farm debt grew by approximately 10% compared to the previous year during the second quarter of 2024. The increase was even more pronounced at agricultural banks, where non-real estate debt rose by about 15% year over year. There is some good news, Chip. Despite the rise in debt, delinquency rates on farm loans do remain low.
Paying the bills, less than 1% delinquency.
Yep. Well, the U.S. annual inflation rate slowed to 2.4% in September. That's the lowest since February 2021, marking six consecutive months of decline. Price growth eased for shelter and energy costs, with gasoline and fuel oil prices dropping significantly. Conversely, inflation accelerated for food and transportation. Core inflation edged up unexpectedly to 3.3%. Food prices up 2.3% on an annualized basis. That's up from 2.1% in August. Grocery prices up 1.3%.
Stocks are under pressure in response to this report. So
Yes. And here we go again, Chip. Egg prices jumped again after several months of price increases. In September, egg prices rose 8.4%. That's up from the 4.8% rise the month before. Unemployment claims in the U.S. rose by 33,000 to 258,000 for the week ended October 5. That exceeded expectations and reached a 14-month high. The rise, driven by factors including Hurricane Helene's impact on states like North Carolina and Florida, suggests a weakening labor market. And finally here, the Economist's new forecast model updated daily gives Republicans a 2-in-3 chance of flipping the Senate, likely securing 51 seats in the upcoming elections. Democrats face a tough battle, needing to hold on in red states like Ohio and Montana. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Okay. As I said, meat exports, such an important component of meat pricing and cattle pricing, hog pricing here in the United States. We'll take a look at the August numbers. Those are finalized, and take a look at the trends through the first two-thirds of the year. Next, here on AgriTalk.
At Mosaic, we know that good things come in small packages. That's why we pack micro-essentials with the good stuff required to feed your fields and improve your yields, like uniform nutrient distribution, season-long sulfur availability, increased nutrient uptake, and ease of use. Because who doesn't want greater ROI and increased yields? The Mighty Micro from Mosaic Micro-Essentials. We put more in, so you can get more out. Visit microessentials.com to learn more about getting more.
Jeff Ellis is a technical services manager at Amvec. Jeff, we're talking about Index for rootworm control. What do you want growers thinking about as they make plans for 2025?
You know, when they think about Index, I think about consistency of control. I think about return on investment, you know, all the key things that our grower looks at. When you think about all this and you're looking ahead to 2025, you have to be proactive in controlling corn rootworm, larvae, and many other underground pests. So, you know, it's really key to pay attention to kind of what we're seeing at the end of the season. And we're seeing a lot of beetles in the field right now. And many professionals think that we're going to have a pretty tough year next year. Many of the key corn growing regions in the Midwest are labeled as high risk. So it's paid to be a pretty tough year in 2025 with regard to corn rootworm pressure.
All right, Jeff, thank you. That is Jeff Ellis, Technical Services Manager at Amvac. To learn more, head to www.amvac.com.
More moisture and more bushels with the Endzone Bin System from Farm Shop MFG.
The moisture increase has been a huge benefit for us. We are hauling out more bushels than we hauled in. Paid for itself and beyond already the first season.
Call 712-520-6061.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Retire.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Glad that you're with us on this Thursday morning. One of the things that we like to do here is keep track of some of the efforts out there that are helping to set cattle prices, hog prices, corn, soybeans. You know, we do take a look at the markets from time to time here on AgriTalk, don't we, Davis?
From time to time, yeah.
We keep, from time to time. Yeah, like every afternoon.
That's what we do. But, that's what we do.
Yes, but sometimes when there's these big issues like meat exports, we've got to take some time here in the morning and talk about some of those issues, and that's what we're going to do right now with Joe Shealy. Joe is the VP for Communications at the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Joe, it's great to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm good, Chip. Thanks for having me on.
Good. Glad that you're here. Glad you're here. So the August numbers are in for the meat exports, and I want to start with pork. What are the highlights on the pork exports in August? What are the trends?
Well, August wasn't a huge month for pork, but we were above last year, so it was a good solid month, up about 6% from a year ago, and the value was up about 8%, just over $700 million. And Mexico, you know, you run out of superlatives when you talk about the demand for U.S. pork in Mexico. Is just another tremendous month there. Exports to Mexico are on a record pace. Also had a record value to Colombia in August. Colombia, a really critical market for us, performing very well. Another market that set a record in August was Malaysia, kind of a newcomer on the scene. We've gotten some additional pork plants approved for export to Malaysia. And while it's still a small market, I think a lot of people are surprised at the demand for pork in what is a predominantly Muslim country, but there is a pork eating population there. So we had a record in Malaysia and really good performance out of markets like Central America and the Caribbean. Yeah. Just a really, really well-rounded month. And I think one of the highlights for me in August is that August was strong enough that we're now ready to project that we will set new records for volume and value for pork exports in 2024. And that's a great story, especially on the volume side. You go back to when our highest volumes years were the start of this decade. That's when China was doing a whole lot of buying.
Yeah.
We're not seeing that kind of volume to China now, and yet we're poised to surpass those volumes. So that's a great success story.
It certainly is. It's kind of a quiet story, isn't it, Joe? Because without the fireworks that go off with the big sales to China, some of this is kind of flying under the radar, and it shouldn't be.
I think you're right. When we were moving those huge volumes to China, and of course, remember that was when they were trying to rebuild their production after the devastation of African swine fever. Yeah. We emphasized that this is short-term demand, that China will move heaven and earth to rebuild its domestic production. And while we can capitalize on these opportunities in China, we shouldn't think that this demand from China is just going to go up and up and up. So we emphasize the importance of market diversification to serve these other markets, develop these additional markets. Some of our competitors didn't really do that. And so now that China's demand for imported pork is way down, they're left in a kind of a bad situation because, in my opinion, they became overly dependent on what was short-term demand from China.
Yeah, yeah. Joe, one of the markets that I know that USMEF and other pork supporters have been working to develop are right here in the Western Hemisphere, Central America, South America, and that seems to – there's traction in those markets now for pork exports, isn't there?
Absolutely. And some of these markets early on were primarily a destination for raw material for further processing. We'd move a lot of raw material down there. The processors would use it for processed meats and sausages and deli meats and things like that. And that's still an important part of the business. But what's really exciting is we're now moving center of the plate items there. We're really pushing pork as a U.S. pork as a high-end entree. And that's what's really made the difference in these markets.
Yeah, that is so cool. So cool. Okay, don't want to run out of time. Let's move on to beef. Well, wait. Any other highlights on pork that we need to be aware of, Joe? I mean, how much is it contributing to the bottom line for Hog Guys right now? Do we know that?
Well, in August, our average per head slaughtered stayed right around $65. Okay. We're about $66 for the year, and that's a good strong number. That's an important metric because it gives you an idea of what the return to the producer is at a time when pork producers they need those returns from exports.
Right, certainly do. Yeah, it is so cool that we are back on track to see some records in on volume and value in 2024. Good stuff. Okay, let's go over to beef. I would assume that there's going to be some similar trends here when it comes to Mexico, Joe. Is that right?
Yes, Mexico performed very well again for U.S. beef, and here again we're moving a large range of product to Mexico. For many years, Mexican buyers, there were perhaps some cuts that were more likely to go to Asia, or that the Mexican buyers had a tough time competing for. But they found themselves in a better competitive position this year, really moving a wide range of muscle cuts to Mexico. And it's also our largest volume destination for beef variety meat items like tripe and lips and hearts and livers. And so, really important on the upper end and on the lower end with those variety meat items. So really strong demand from Mexico. And, you know, early in the year, we were attributing some of the strong demand for U.S. beef in Mexico of the very strong peso, the super peso, as it became known.
Okay.
But the peso has lost quite a bit of value. It's still not in a bad position relative to the dollar. But even with the weakening of the peso, Mexico's demand for U.S. beef and pork has held up really well through the summer.
Okay. Is there any even anecdotal evidence of what brought Mexico around?
Well, I think it really rebounded well from COVID as far as the food service and hospitality sectors. That has a big impact on the beef side. I think the other thing in Mexico is that this is not a new phenomenon, but it continues to develop. Mexico's retail supermarket sector continues to become more and more modern and high-end and sophisticated, and that's really a great opportunity to differentiate the quality of U.S. beef and pork. I mean, we sell U.S. red meat in the wet markets in Mexico, but a lot tougher to differentiate your product in that setting and show the high quality and the dining experience. When you get in that modern retail sector, that really gives us a better opportunity to showcase our product.
Okay. All right. What about Asia? We can't talk beef exports without talking about South Korea and Japan, right?
Right. And in August, I would say the numbers were a little bit disappointing. We felt like we had some momentum in Japan that perhaps lost a little steam in August, but it wasn't a bad month. We've still got a lot of headwinds there with the exchange rate and some of the, I would say that just the consumer confidence factor. It's a lot of the Asian economies are, consumers are just not as inclined to spend as they have been in the past. We're seeing some improvement in Japan, driven by the boom in tourism, a little bit of improvement in Korea, China, the consumer confidence levels really continue to be sluggish. I'd say the one bright spot in Asia is that we're seeing good numbers out of Taiwan. We had a slow start to the year for beef to Taiwan, which is a really, really strong market for especially high-end chilled U.S. beef. And Taiwan, through the summer months, we saw demand from Taiwan really recover. Also, a good month in Southeast Asia. Some of the smaller markets like the Philippines and Singapore, we saw better numbers there in August. So a little bit of a slow month in August, but certainly some bright spots.
All right. What did the first two-thirds of the year tell us about what might happen in the last third?
Well, as I mentioned, we are pretty confident that pork will set new annual highs in 2024. On the beef side, we've got a little bit of a challenge on supply. When we were setting when we were putting up record numbers for beef exports, we were in the opposite supply situation where we had record production. Our biggest competitor in Asia, which is Australia, they were struggling with supply. That situation is reversed now. So tough sledding on the beef side, but we think the fourth quarter will be pretty positive.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Man, that went by in a hurry, Joe. Thank you so much for coming on, giving us an update. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Chip.
You bet. Joe Sheely, VP for Communications at the U.S. Meat Export Federation. We're going to talk more beef issues coming up next. Ethan Lane.
What's a corn farmer's favorite dog?
A husky.
Some things shouldn't be flat. But with GHX, you can maximize your acres with one flat price. While other brands sell by the bag, we sell seed by the acre to maximize your yield and profit potential. Our custom seed recommendations combine extensive product characterization and agronomic expertise to get the right product, population, and placement, all for one flat price per acre. Learn how at ghxseed.com/connect.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Farmers, it's harvest time and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Double-digit gains in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November milk up 18 to 21.33, December up 15 to 20.81, January up 19 to 20.46, February milk up 20 at 19.93. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets are moving mostly higher. Cash cattle in the market is trading fully steady this week, but there's still room and a chance that prices could still turn higher, and that's helping to move live and feeder cattle markets mostly higher. Hog markets moving higher, a positive export inspections report helping to support the hog markets. October live cattle up 82 cents to 189.02. October feeder cattle up 92 cents to 250.20. And October hogs up 17 cents at 84.10. Meanwhile, at the Chicago Board of Trade, corn and soybeans moving mostly lower. A lot of positioning ahead of the WASDE report tomorrow. On the WASDE report for corn, the trade is looking for a yield down slightly to 183.3 bushels per acre, with carryout at 1.944 million bushels. Soybeans, meanwhile, are mostly lower ahead of that WASDE report. Again, the trade looking for yields at 53 bushels per acre. Meanwhile, wheat markets continue to move higher as they consolidate at the upper end of the trading range. December corn down 2.25 to 418.75. November beans down 5.25 to 1015. December wheat up 5.75 to 604.75.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. We support our customers through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and most of all, service. We know Bluff Country because we live here. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of community and the relationships we build. Our commitment is to provide you with top quality products and the service you deserve. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG. Life is a gamble, a game
we all play. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad you're with us. Ethan Lane is the VP of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And Ethan, I know it's got to feel like when they start beating the beehive out in D.C. on these cattle issues is when we come calling to get
every
you
time.
On here. Yeah, but you know, that's kind of the way it is. And they were beaten on the beehive again this past week. Ethan, how are you? It's good to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you, Chip. You know, it's a shocking turn of events that 25 days before a massively consequential national election, everybody wants to connect with rural America. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that that's the case?
I love it. And you are referring, of course, to, geez, what did they officially call it? A celebration of ag at the White House, something like that?
I don't. They had a couple different names. I mean, so a couple of our affiliates were invited several weeks ago, and the invitation that they got was very vague, kind of, you know, come join us to talk about all the wonderful things that this administration has done for agriculture. No mention of the Bidenomics, you know, competition stuff. No mention of the more sort of controversial stuff. So it was kind of spun one way, and then as the event grew closer, you know, we started to kind of get these extra drops of information, and that's not atypical. You know, the night before the event, got a call from USDA. Folks saying, hey, we're going to drop all these competition items tomorrow at our meeting. And so, you know, pretty standard issue for this White House. They've used that kind of format multiple times, you know, parade the farmers and ranchers in and look how much good work we're doing. And look, these guys agree with us. So we must be on the right track.
Right, right. You know, the USDA has done some very good things in this in this administration. I'm not going to say that they haven't, but there's been some things that they've done that I haven't agreed with. And you know, you're exactly right with these announcements. We've dubbed them the U.S. Department of Announcements.
Yes.
And they just keep – sometimes they'll make the same announcement four, five, six times.
I mean, you know my team here. I have more than one individual on this team with an ag econ degree, and it takes all of them to track the different funding announcements because it's the same money being reannounced, and then just reminding you that we did this with this pocket of money. We laugh about the bottomless couch cushions in Secretary Vilsack's office, and you know what an important tool that must be.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. One of those reports that was released, it came out on Tuesday, a report on competitive conditions in the meat retail industry. What did you learn from that report?
You know, there's a lot in there. We're still picking through the details, but this is obviously a topic that, you know, I think a lot of people are paying attention to right now. I mean, we have the big Kroger merger that, I mean, our members have expressed concerns with. Others have as well. We have policy on the books from our members that says that they want to make sure that we are, you know, paying attention to that merger and anything like it and enforcing any of those, you know, rules that prevent consolidation that could be harmful to our producers. You know, we saw the McDonald's lawsuit obviously jumping into the price fixing deal here a few days ago. This is a hot topic. And you know, what's funny about it, Chip, is when we go overseas to talk about trade in Europe or elsewhere, there's so much focus here in the U.S. on the cattle production side. You know, this obsession with Secretary Vilsack and price discovery and you know, AMAs kind of dominates our conversation about beef prices here. You go overseas and it's focused on the retailers. It's focused on the grocery store and you know, how that pricing functions relative to the cost of the underlying commodities. You know, it's like gas prices. There's problems in the Middle East. Gas prices go up. The problem resolves. Gas prices should go down, but for some reason, your local gas station is still $1.50, you know, ahead of where they should be. And so, I think looking at those same dynamics is something a lot of people are focusing on right now.
Oh, definitely. You've mentioned a couple of other issues there that I want to get to, and let's stay on USDA. And this one came Tuesday as well. the next steps in a rulemaking effort for Packers and Stockyards Act. What are the next steps there?
You know, I'm going to try to be as respectful as I can. Anytime you're in a lame duck administration, right, in the waning hours, waning days of an administration, you start to see people clearing the decks. And you know, they're technically calling it advanced notice of preliminary rule, ANPR, advanced notice of preliminary rulemaking. And that was originally, when it was sent to the White House some months back, a proposed rule, which means they wrote a rule and said, this is what we want to do. They sent it to the White House. For whatever reason, OMB at the White House didn't like it or had some feedback, but they've scaled that back to an ANPR where they're asking like 50 questions. What do you want to see out of this? And I think it's indicative of the fact that they're trying to keep this issue alive, telling consumers who to blame for beef prices, for meat prices, telling producers in rural America who to blame for any problem they might be having on any particular day has been a winning combination for this White House, right? They did it. They're responsible, and we're going to hold them accountable. They're kind of to the end of that process, and so they're hurling everything left in the idea factory at the wall to see what might stick in these last few months of this administration, that could stir somebody to support them. And so it's not unusual. It's not something that we ever, are not expecting at the end of an administration. This is really them exploring how do we, intervene at the federal level in how buyers and sellers set a base price on an AMA. That's really what we're talking about here. Should the government be coming in and directing buyers and sellers how they should determine the base price in an alternative marketing arrangement? And for our purposes, our members, our policy, that is government intervention in the free market, and that's not something that our members have told us that they support.
Okay. One thing that I'm hearing from farmers out there when it comes to the election that's coming up is that, you've mentioned the last few months of this administration. Well, if Harris wins, there's a couple of big concerns. Number one, the concern is that it just will continue the Biden administration for her term. And the other concern is that the president would be the most removed from agriculture that we've ever had, the least in tune with agriculture that we've ever had. Do you think that's fair?
I think that case could be made. I don't know that Joe Biden is particularly connected to agriculture.
Right.
I don't know that it's terribly different than what we have now. I could argue that, Kamala Harris, being from California, she's from a substantially more impactful ag state than Delaware, and has had experience at the state level. And so I don't know that it's a huge departure in that regard.
Okay.
I think the question remains, where will she be on the political spectrum, right? Biden started out kind of, my only mandate is to heal the country and this and that. And I said then, and you and I probably talked about it 2 or 3 years ago, they're starting out that way with a lot of outward engagement. And we're going to see that narrow towards the end of the administration when it's time to make their case to get reelected and they need to energize the base. And the question is, right now, she's wanting to have a big tent. What does that look like, a year from now, were she to win, or 2 years from now? Do the NGOs take over again? Do the Farm Actions of the world, funded with animal rights dollars, have her ear, or is she going to be interested in listening to real farmers and ranchers engaged in real production agriculture and really feeding the world? Because those are two very different conversations. Neither is invalid, but they're two different audiences.
Yep. Okay. All right. You mentioned also that the case that's being brought by McDonald's, McDonald's accusing meat packers of conspiring to limit, this seems weird to me, to limit beef supplies and inflate prices. What's this all about?
I'm a little hesitant to wade into pontificating on a lawsuit that we're not involved with and not named in. But I think it is a theme we've heard, right, is this idea that the big four conspire. I'm not close enough to it to tell you. I know that, you know, they have very different business models, and I can tell you they don't spend a lot of time hanging out together. So I only know kind of my own experience with that, but we'll be watching this case, obviously, like everybody else in the industry, with great curiosity, because, you know, we kind of continue to see these things roll out, and clearly it's an area that's not played out yet.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how they tackle all of this when, you know, the drought had such an impact on total supplies and everything. But we will, as you said, we're just going to have to watch this play out. Real quick, Ethan, hurricane relief for cattlemen. Where can they go for more information?
So certainly our website, ncba.org/policy, we have some links up there for the impacted states. First and foremost, it's important for people to understand, you know, getting money to the ground means getting it to those, you know, catcher's mitts, for lack of a better description, in those individual states, whether they've set up a fund or something else. People want to send supplies. They want to send hay. They want to send fencing. That's awesome. But remember, a lot of these areas don't have roads open yet. They don't have physical space to set supplies yet. So asking the locals on the ground, really connecting there to make sure you're doing something that's helpful in the right time is key right now, because people are still digging out and are going to be for a while. But watch those resources. USDA is putting out great stuff on how to access their programs. We have linked to that as well. So be looking at their stuff to see where to take advantage of programs that could be helpful right now, short term and longer term. That's my advice.
All right. Ethan, these conversations are always worthwhile. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
You bet. Great talking to you.
You bet. Ethan Lane, VP Government Affairs, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. We've got Kenny Hartman Jr. from NCGA up next.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde suggested most nursing home residents shouldn't be allowed to vote because of their life expectancy.
Listen to Eric Hovde.
Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Even though I'm old, I'm doing just fine, Eric Hovde.
Son, I've served this country. I think I can handle a ballot.
Listen to Eric Hovde again.
Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
What's he talking about?
Didn't he learn to respect his elders?
Eric Hovde hasn't just insulted older Wisconsinites. He's also proposed cutting Social Security, Medicare, and nursing home care, even veterans benefits.
He's crazy.
He's a jerk.
Eric Hovde, what's wrong with this guy?
I'm Tammy Baldwin, candidate for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, the Nasgro brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans.
Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Hey y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
I love the Army. You just have this brotherhood that you can't find anywhere else. Since coming home from war, I've tried so many different things. I just remember thinking, like, it's over.
After being forced to medically retire, Angie battled addiction to prescription medications, eventually losing her house and marriage. Then she found Wounded Warrior Project.
And so I went online, I signed up, and I knew that Wounded Warrior Project was definitely my new community. One of the staff members, she put me in for peer mentor training. It was like for the first time someone recognized something good about me and thought that I had something to give back to someone else. Are you doing okay otherwise?
I've kind of picked up woodworking with my grandfather,
oh, yeah.
So.
That's 3D stuff.
All those activities gave me a new way to live without drugs, a new way to live without feeling like I'm broken. You can live a meaningful life after traumatic experiences.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Farmers and Ranchers in Action. That was the name of the event at the White House earlier this week. And there to take part in it was Kenny Hartman Jr., the president of the National Corn Growers Association. Kenny's a farmer in Illinois, joins us right now. Kenny, it wasn't long since you were last on for a get-to-know-you conversation. And here we are following up already for some with that meeting that you took part in at the White House. How are you, man? Everything okay?
Doing good. I was good. Kind of come in here and just started getting busy right away. So, we're very excited that we got invited to the Farmers and Ranchers in Action at the White House. Had some very heavy hitters there at the meeting and had a lot of discussions and things of what they're looking at for the future on the Biden administration side. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Give me like 30 seconds on a reporter on the scene take here. From your perspective, what was the gathering all about?
Well, basically, I think what they did was they had Tom Vilsack, basically the secretary, spoke. We had Ambassador Doug McCaleb spoke. We had Samantha Silverberg spoke. There were some other folks that spoke and just kind of telling us, you know, what they've done in the last couple of years. And then the other opportunity was then they asked us for some input. So we basically told them about the things that were crucial to our, you know, things that we appreciated that they did work on. And at the same time, asking that we need more from them. We need some other things. So I guess I could go into detail on some of them items.
Yeah, absolutely. When you get an opportunity to deliver a message of what is needed in farm country, I know you're going to take advantage of it, Kenny. What did you tell Secretary Vilsack, for example, of what is needed?
Well, we talked about, you know, we were very happy with them because of our E15 that they gave us the waivers over the summer. The last couple of years and stressing that we do need it year round, not just for every year having to have a waiver, but we need it year round. We talked about the infrastructure investments they had when it comes to locks and dams and repairing roads and bridges. And then we also stressed and Ambassador Michaela brought back that we're hoping to get a information back on the dispute that, we worked with them on USMCA over Mexico GM ban and talk like we can get some information back on that in in November, one of the couple things that I pushed and talked about was, farmers are facing hard times. We need the administration and Congress to help us expand domestic markets and world markets. Trade's very important to us. We also came back and talked about the legislative pending with the House and the Senate on E15, and hopefully that we can get that through them, and that hopefully the administration, if they would be, they'd be there to sign that. And then one of the things that Secretary Vilsack was very adamant, talking about sustainable aviation fuel. We basically asked them, it's crucial that we have access to the 45Z sustainability tax credit. And we're hoping that, they came out with that as a bundle, and we're stressing to them that we need it. They need it broke down to the practices that, some farmers are no-tilling, some farmers are cover crops, and some farmers do green fertilizer, and not all farmers are adapting everything at the same time. It takes time for some of these things. So we're hoping that they can come out with a program that gives us credits on the individual practices, not just bundling like they started out with.
Kenny, great list. Fantastic list. I mean, year-round availability of E15. I heard, the pending legislation, the next gen fuels act there, the 45Z details that we need so that we can go ethanol to jet. A great list. Now, what is Secretary Vilsack's reaction to that?
Well, his comments to myself was that they're, especially on the 45Z, they were definitely working on that. One of the things that he stressed to everybody that obviously he doesn't have control of, he says we need to get a farm bill done by the end of the year, because if we don't get a farm bill done by the end of the year, we are starting all over with new administration and possibly new leadership on the House and the Senate side. So that was something that we stressed. Again, Ambassador McCaleb was stressing, he talked about some of the different areas where they've expanded on exports. A lot of these are in some of the specialty crops, and then in the end talked about how we're hoping to get a USMCA basically information and back that we don't have an issue with a trade barrier with GMO corn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. What was your attitude when you left? See, Kenny, the reason that I'm asking this is because if Vice President Harris is successful in her bid for the White House, McCallop and Vilsack are probably going to be cabinet members again, aren't they?
Well, I don't know. Time will tell on that. I'm not sure. I know, the secretary's been there a while. He may be, he may not be. We don't know that at this time. Obviously, that it's going to be some of the similar views that are there.
Right.
And again, they were talking about some of the areas they were at, but at the same time, with this economics, I guess the word is we need more. So we're hoping to get some things, worked out in the future that we can get some more markets and work on some of these issues with whoever is president.
Kenny, it is so refreshing to hear, the list of things that you are pushing, because it's all forward looking. Yes, I know that you mentioned the farm bill there, and we got to get that done, and that's got to be part of it. But the answers to fixing some of the financial challenges that we've got in agriculture are in those forward looking things. They're in the year round availability of E15. They are in the Next Gen Fuels Act. They're in sustainable aviation fuel, man. It's in good work. You're hitting you have hit the ground running. There is no question about it. Doesn't surprise me at all, though, dude. Good work, man. Thank you so much for doing that.
Okay, well, thank you. And we got a lot of challenges, but we're hoping to get some things done in the next couple months.
You bet. Sounds good. We will keep the conversation going with you. That is President of the National Corn Growers Association, Kenny Hartman Jr. Kenny's a farmer over in Illinois and off, like I said, off to a running start as the president of NCGA. All right, thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Brian Doherty from Total Farm Marketing. Get you ready for tomorrow's USDA reports. And then tomorrow morning, we got a free-for-all right here on AgriTalk.
Thank you. I am Rosario Dawson. Cancer can be a challenging journey, one that no one should take on alone. And Stand Up to Cancer wants to make sure no one has to. We bring together the best scientists and doctors to accelerate research, leading to more effective treatments. With each new advancement, we're getting closer than ever to our mission of making every cancer patient cancer-free. To get there even faster, we rely on the support from individuals like you, so that through our combined efforts, more patients and their loved ones will see that even though cancer may interrupt the journey, it doesn't have to determine the destination.
The fight against cancer never stops. Thankfully, new and promising treatments can help save lives now.
Let's go further together.
Find out how you can join the mission.
Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Ugh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste